Temptation. Scary word, isn't it? Puts my heart a little on edge. Something dangerous is knocking on my door. Maybe something tantalizing. And it's just me here. Will I open that door? Temptation is risky business, but it's part of life. We are human. But do you think that God understands what it's like? How it feels to see what you want? To know it's within reach? The race of thoughts that wonder if anyone is looking, or if anyone cares anyways. Temptation. Do you ever wonder if God can relate? Now, the story in Matthew 4 puts Jesus right in the fires of temptation, starting with verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You might think it strange that after the Spirit of God anoints Jesus in the previous chapter, we're told that the same Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Remember, Matthew is playing out a retelling of Israel's history through Jesus. But whereas Israel kept failing in their history, Jesus here keeps succeeding. In the last chapter, Matthew quoted, "Out of Israel I called my son," quoting Hosea, who pointed to Israel having a fresh start out of Egypt and failing miserably to trust God even after their second chance. Jesus, however, was the perfect son in whom God was well pleased. Remember, that voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." And these verses tell us why. There's a pattern here. You'll see that Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness being tempted. And that's significant. It brings to mind Israel's next event after coming up out of Egypt, the temptation in the wilderness that lasted not 40 days, but 40 years. And again, where they fail, Jesus succeeds. Verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So what's Satan's angle here? Why is he trying to get Jesus to use his God powers to meet his own needs? Well, Jesus was fully human and not allowed to tap into his God powers. When the Spirit anointed him in the previous chapter, it was so that Jesus could be fully dependent upon God, like you and I are. He was still fully God, but he didn't tap into it. As Philippians 2 says, he humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. This is why Jesus is fasting at the beginning of his ministry anyways. Fasting is all about depending on God, reminding yourself that you need to trust God for everything. So Jesus is living as you and I were meant to live, fully dependent upon God. And looking out at those dusty stones, they probably look like loaves of bread in the right light. And Satan attempts to wean Jesus off of his dependence upon God, the same temptation that Israel faced in the wilderness. You see, God rained down manna from heaven there, and they still rebelled against him. The irony was, when they were being tested by God, they not only failed the test, but they turned it around on God and tested him. Maybe you've done that. You've attempted to test God rather than to trust him. If you're God, do this or that, just like Satan says. That's not the language of faith. That's Satan's native tongue talking. Therefore, it's not accident that Jesus keeps quoting Deuteronomy, the sermon Moses gave to the people of Israel after they failed in the wilderness. In fact, all three times, Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Well, Jesus 1, Satan 0. So on to the next temptation in verse 5. Then the devil took him to stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hand so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Wow, Satan quoting scripture? That's a new one. Well, not exactly. Satan will quote scripture any time that he can use it to misrepresent God's word, just like he did with Eve in the garden. Did God really say not to touch the fruit? Satan, God said don't eat it. Here Satan leaves out a little bit in the middle of this verse, just like he did in the garden. He will command his angels concerning you in all your ways. That's the part he lifted out. So that verse was just a metaphor about trusting God in your everyday life, not some weird way to test God in some game of supernatural chicken. Jesus' comeback is, don't put God to the test. The irony? In tempting Jesus, Satan is actually testing God. But Jesus lets him know, not today, Satan. Jesus 2, Satan 0. Verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. One of my favorite songs by U2 depicts a scene in a song called Vertigo, which is about temptation. The bridge says, all of this can be yours. All of this can be yours. Just give me what I want, and no one gets hurt. Satan offers Jesus what he wants if Jesus will give Satan what he wants. Satan says, I'll be your hype man, Jesus. I'll give you the glory of the world if you give me the glory of heaven. If you'll worship me, I'll make sure all men worship you. And it must have been tempting. Does God know how we feel? As God, maybe. He knows all. But as Jesus, God himself has lived through every temptation. He's felt the pull of it, the drawing out of desires that feel right, but would be so wrong. Jesus hits Satan here with a knockout punch, and Satan leaves just like the Bible tells us. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. From there, Jesus goes preaching and lives in Capernaum. Have you noticed a pattern yet? Every time Jesus moves location, Matthew tells us he fulfills prophecy in verse 14. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus goes to Capernaum, a place known to be corrupted by Gentile thinking. But from there, he picks his first disciples. Verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. From there, Jesus goes on a circuit tour through Galilee, taking these disciples with him, teaching, healing, and casting out demons. And people start to follow him, without help from the devil, thank you. It's all getting started now in Jesus' public ministry. He's got the Spirit, he's got the team, and he's got the following. As they start their journey today, we're coming to the close of ours. But I'll see you next time on your journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.